The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Johannesburg, October the 17th, 6 p.m. Stuart Munro, a sales representative in his early 30s, is driving home and thinking of the cold beer waiting for him in the icebox. It's been a successful day, and he smiles to himself as he thinks of the lucrative sales contract he has just secured for his firm. The traffic is sparse now, enabling him to spot a hitchhiker on the side of the road.
Where are you going?
The town.
Okay, get in. Where are you from?
Oh, anywhere and everywhere.
Really? Sounds like an interesting place.
Oh, sorry, mate. That must have sounded a bit off. What I mean is, I used to be in the Navy. I've travelled all over. Well, I'm not really sure where home is these days.
Where was home originally?
Oh, London. I was born in Camberwell. I don't know if you know where that is.
Yes, I've heard of Camberwell. How have you come to be in this part of the world?
I've come here to find someone. Someone who owes me a lot of money.
Really? An old comrade from your years in the Navy?
He's no friend of mine. He took my money.
You sound pretty bitter.
Yeah, that's the word for it, all right. And if he doesn't pay me back, he's going to get it where it hurts.
Yeah, I see. Well, look, I turn off about a mile further on. Will that be all right for you?
Yeah. This will do all right. But don't be surprised if you see my name in a newspaper one day.
Johannesburg, October the 18th, 12 noon. The midday sun spreads a dazzling veil of light over a large apartment building not far from the shopping center. Office workers are beginning to fill the streets, hoping to find a secluded spot in which to enjoy their sandwiches. And Alice Green peers down at them from a window of her apartment building.
Just a moment. Yeah, what can I do for you?
Oh, I'm sorry to bother you like this, but I have this envelope that I want to send off, and I've torn it by mistake. I was wondering if you had any sticky tape so that I can put it back together.
I don't know. I'll have to look in the kitchen drawer. Can you wait for a couple of seconds?
Oh, of course. No, I don't mind, mate.
Give me the envelope and I'll see if I can put it back together.
No, I think I'll forget all about the envelope. I'd rather have some money instead.
What's all this about?
Listen to me carefully. You just listen. What you see's a gun, a real one with bullets. I don't want to hurt you, but I will if I have to. Now, as much money as you have in this flat, I want all of it. Do you understand? All of it.
I don't have very much. Only a few rands.
How much? Be precise. Come on.
I think about 40, that's all. I'm not lying to you.
Who's that?
It's my husband. He comes home for lunch.
Did he always knock?
Yes, I have the only key.
Well, answer it, ain't go on, move.
Hello, love. Early today. Who are you?
Never mind who I am. Just get inside and close the door, fast.
If you hurt my wife, I'll...
You what? I'm holding a gun, so I'll give the orders. You, go and get the money.
I'll call the police.
Don't be a bore. Do what I tell you, and your wife won't be hurt. She's going to stay here with me while you rummage around. Get moving.
Do as he says, Frank.
That's right. Do as he says, Frank. And don't get any ideas. She's too young to die.
All right. But don't hurt her, please.
Why do you want to do this? To people like us?
To people like you? I don't want to do anything to people like you. I just need money, that's all. And this is the only way of getting it.
The police will catch you. You must know that.
After I've done what I'm going to do, they can do what they like with me.
What do you mean by that? Listen, if you have a problem, Why don't you put down that gun and we can talk about it? Perhaps we can help you.
Don't try and charm me, lady. I'm not as stupid as I look. Just keep your mouth shut and your hands where I can see
them. This is all we have in the place. 40 rand.
And your wallet. Empty it out.
No, really?
Thanks.
Now, please get out of here.
All right. I'll go.
O'Connor's my name. Captain O'Connor.
I'm Alice Green. Mrs. Green.
Yes, Mrs. Green, I know. The sergeant's told me most of what's happened here, so I won't ask you to go through it all again. Not for the moment, anyway.
Thank you. But please feel free to ask any questions you wish. I'm beginning to get control of myself now.
Thank you, Mrs. Green. Can you give me a description of this man?
Well, he was well built, about 6'2", I think. Dark hair.
Anything distinctive about him? Anything out of the ordinary?
Well, yes, there was. For one thing, he spoke with an English accent.
A refined accent?
No, not really. I think it was Cockney. Oh, there's another thing. He had a tattoo on his arm.
I see. Could you make out what it was?
It was a girl. With the words China doll.
Could be a sailor, sir.
Is there anything else that you feel you should tell us, Mrs. Green?
I told him that the police would catch him, and he said that he wouldn't care after he'd done what he was going to do.
I see. That could mean anything from housebreaking to multiple homicide.
I beg your pardon?
I'm sorry, I was just muttering to myself.
Would you mind answering that, Captain? I'm a bit unsteady on my feet.
Of course.
Yes, speaking. Oh, that's good to hear. Yes, yes, I'll tell her. Thank you very much. Goodbye. That was the hospital, Mrs. Green.
Was it about Frank? Is he going
Yes, to... yes, he is going to be all right. It's only a light injury.
Oh, thank goodness for that. That man, he just hit Frank like a wild animal. And before that, he said he wasn't going to hurt us. I don't understand.
Criminals don't necessarily keep their word, Mrs. Green.
Hello, Rex. I'll give you one guess who this is.
Polly. Polly Carr. What are you doing in Johannesburg?
It's been a long time, eh, Rex? Long time since the Navy.
Sure it is. Listen, look, why don't you come on and see me? I haven't seen you for years.
I like that, Rex. We can talk over old times.
Yeah, look, my address is in the phone book. Grab a taxi and get out here. Yeah? I can hardly wait to see you.
We all do. Keep the beer cold for me.
Same old Wally, eh? Right, see you.
Okay, Rick. Bye. You don't know how long I've been looking forward to this, Rex.
Hillbrow Police Station, October the 18th, 5:30 p.m. Captain Bill O'Connor reaches for the last cigarette in a pack of 20, lights it, and studies the completed report on his desk. He considers certain aspects of the case he had started investigating that afternoon. In particular, the tattoo.
It's incredible when I think about it, Sergeant.
What's that, sir?
The amount of criminals I come across who have tattoos. Some crime experts believe it's a sort of Freudian symbol. Most of the types who commit violent crimes usually have an inferiority complex of some sort, and a tattoo helps to boost their ego.
In what way, sir?
It's an age-old masculine symbol. One very famous criminologist claims that every murderer he's spoken to has had a tattoo.
Do you think our chap is a potential murderer, sir?
He's certainly violent.
Now what else does this criminologist say, sir?
He speaks about the XXY chromosome, something in a person's metabolism that can make them a criminal, whether they like it or not. The criminal type supposedly having hairy arms, light blue eyes, and a tendency towards acne. What are you doing, Sergeant?
Sorry, sir. I was just looking at my arms.
I wouldn't worry, Sergeant. You've got hairy arms, but not light blue eyes. You need the whole three to be classified as XXY. Come in.
Sorry to bother you, sir, but there's a chap outside I think you should see. It might have some bearing on the Green case.
Well, send him in, Constable. Excuse me, Sergeant.
Of course, sir.
May I come in?
Yes, yes, please do. Thank you, Constable.
Right, sir.
Sit down, Mr. Rent.
Munro, Stuart Munro.
I'm Captain O'Connor, Mr. Munro. What can I do for you? Well, is it going to sound ridiculous? I don't really think I should have come to see you.
Well, if you have something that's bothering you, the best thing to do is speak up.
Well, last night I picked up a hitchhiker on my way into town, and,
Yes, go on.
Well, he seemed like a criminal type to me.
Exactly so I am.
I'm sorry, did you say something?
No. Please go on, Miss Munro.
Well, I don't know if he's wanted by you chaps. He may be just an ordinary fellow, but I've been worrying about him all day. He said some strange things in my car.
What sort of things, sir?
Well, he said he was going to look for someone who owed him money. And if this person didn't pay up, he'd better watch out.
Yes. Anything else?
Yeah, well, the funniest thing of all. Just before I dropped him off, he said, "Don't be surprised if you see my name in the newspapers one day."
Describe him for me, please, sir.
Well, he was about 6 foot, dark hair, and he had a tattoo.
Was he South African?
No, said he was English, from Camberwell in London.
Did he say where he was going, where he lived, anything like that?
No, only that he was going to find this chap and get some money. Sorry if I'm wasting your time. I don't know if this is important to you or not.
It sounds as though it could be very important. Very important indeed.
Ah, it's good to see you, Wally. It really is.
And you, Rex. You haven't changed much.
Oh, I don't know. Put on a few pounds here and there. Eh? What about yourself, sir? Fancy seeing you in South Africa. Well, what brings you here?
I came to see you, Rex.
No, seriously.
I mean exactly what I say. I came all the way to South Africa to see you.
Well, why?
Remember that store we robbed in Bombay?
Well, of course I do. That's a few years back, though. That's when we had to drop the money when the police were chasing us.
You told me that you had to drop the money, Rex. I didn't see you drop it.
Well, I did drop it, you know that.
Yeah. Here, do you know who I met in London?
Huh?
Chalky White. Can you believe that? After all this time, Chalky White.
Ah, yeah, I remember Chalky.
And he remembers you. He told me that you kept that money for yourself.
Well, that's rubbish. And you know it is.
Chalky don't tell lies. He says that's how you got to South Africa. You came here on our money. Yours and mine. I want my share. If you don't give it to me, I'll kill you.
Cold blue eyes of Wally Carr grow even harder as they stare at the mute figure of Rex Webster. Webster straightens his back as Carr moves towards him.
Where's the money, Rex?
Wally, Chalky White is talking through his head. That money was lost. I'm telling you the truth. I swear it.
I said I'll kill you. I will too.
Now, don't be a fool. You can be hanged in this country.
That wouldn't worry me. It'd be worth it to get rid of you.
Wally, you're talking rubbish. We've been friends in the past. You can trust me.
You? You don't have that money?
No.
And you say I can trust you?
Yes.
Huh. How would you like to prove that to me? How would you like to steal again? This time, keeping the money.
What are you getting at?
I'm saying that you should go out and rob someone. That way, making up for the money that you either lost or stole from me.
You've gone round the twist.
Oh, come on, Rex. It'll be just like old times, anything for a laugh. That's what they used to say about you.
You're serious, aren't you?
I've never been more serious in my life.
Do I have any choice?
No. We'll wait another 10 minutes, just in case he's forgotten something and decides to turn back.
He's daft, Wally. Just because he's left the place and all the lights are out doesn't mean to say there's no one up there. His wife could be upstairs asleep.
At this time of night, 7:30, you really don't want to go through with it. That's what's wrong with you.
Anything could go wrong, anything. You must realise that, Wally.
Yeah, like Bombay, things went wrong there, didn't they?
Sound like you've still got that bit of metal in your head.
You shut up about it! It don't make any difference. I'm just as bright as you are.
Yeah, of course you are. Of course you are. It could have happened to any one of us. The mine just went off.
I told you, shut up!
It's all right, keep your shirt on. If
you keep on yelling like that, the whole street will be here wanting to know what we're up to.
Yeah, and you tell them, wouldn't you? You great Burke. You can't even hold a sack of money in your hand.
Car coming. Look. Up the road.
Don't panic.
It's a police car. Come on, let's get out of here.
Just keep calm. We're not doing anything wrong.
They stopped, Wally. They stopped.
Good evening.
Good evening, officer.
Do you mind if I ask you why you're parked here?
We're just enjoying the night air, actually. We're thinking of going to the pictures, and we thought we'd park here and decide which show we're going to see.
I see. Could I see your driver's license, please, sir?
Mine?
Yes, sir. If you are the owner of this car.
Oh, that's right. I do own this car.
Then may I see your license, please?
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course.
Would you tell me your name, please, sir?
Rex Webster.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that checks with this.
Look, do you mind telling us what this is all about? Do you suspect us of something?
I'm sorry to trouble you like this, but we saw you parked here and it looked suspicious. Just thought I'd check.
I see. As I said before, we're just trying to figure out which film we wanted to see.
Then I suggest you do it somewhere else, sir. I wouldn't hang around here.
No, of course, officer. No, we'll move on right away.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Night.
Just start the car. Come on. Don't sit there with your mouth open.
The idea, Constable. Don't lose sight of them, but make sure they don't catch sight of us.
You think they might be up to something, Sergeant?
Well, what struck me as being peculiar was, when you want to see a film, Constable, how do you decide which one you're going to see?
I look in a newspaper.
Precisely. They didn't have a newspaper in the car. So I think we'd better keep on their tail for a little while, just in case they decide to do something naughty.
And what sort of blokes were they, Sergeant?
English. Seemed pretty ordinary.
Immigrants, I suppose.
Yes, could very well be. One of them looked like a sailor. He had a tattoo. I could just make it out in the light.
How did I ever become a policeman?
You joined the force like I did, Sergeant.
No, the tattoo. Why didn't it occur to me? The case that Captain O'Connor is investigating. The wanted man has a tattoo and fits the description of the bloke we're following.
The man wanted for robbery?
That's right. This could be the man that Captain O'Connor is after.
What do you want to do, Sergeant?
As soon as they stop, we'll get out and I'll ask them a few more questions. And we'd better radio the captain. I think you'd like to know something about this.
You don't mind me staying at your place, Rexy, just in case we decide to case another joint. Decide whether or not going to hit it. You don't mind, do you?
Wally, I don't mind you staying at my house, but...
But what?
Well, forget about putting a job. It's not worth it. Look at what happened just now. The cops all over the city.
But I'm smart. Smarter than they are. You saw the way I handled that copper. He didn't suspect anything.
I hope he didn't. We must have looked a right couple of tearaways sitting by the road there.
Yeah. As far as he was concerned, we were discussing our plans for the evening. Nothing more or less.
All right, mate. Anything you say.
You've never trusted me, have you, Rex?
That'd be daft. Of course I trust you.
I don't mean trust me. It's my judgment you don't trust. You think that bomb going off made me a bit gaga?
No, that can happen to anyone involved in active service. It's just that you're a little bit odd-headed. You don't look before you leap, that's your problem.
I don't call it a problem. I'm a man of action. I do something and then deal with the consequences. It's blokes like you who are usually jealous of that sort of thing. You got no spirit. Always saying, what if this happens? What if that happens?
Yeah, but it's called common sense.
Yeah, I'll call it chaos. That's what I'll call it.
Okay, let's not argue
about it. This is your place far from here.
I have it on the road.
Oh, yeah. I see it. Hey. You ain't done badly for yourself in South Africa. It's a nice little house.
I worked for it. You could see sense. You could have a place like this.
If you worked. I've got my ways of making money. Oh. Home sweet home.
Ain't it right, Rex? Yeah, I like it well enough. It's
You want some coffee?
No, thanks. Let's just sit down and have a chat about our next job.
Next job? I can't see. I've been wasting my time. You know, I didn't take you seriously earlier, but now I think you really do want to go to jail.
There's no chance of that.
I'm going to listen to some music anyway.
And the man is said to have dark hair, light blue eyes, and a tattoo bearing the inscription China Doll. He is armed and violent. Anyone seeing this man is advised to contact the police immediately.
Here. That's you he's talking about. That's you. What have you done? Who's that?
Hello again. Do you mind if we come inside and ask you a few more questions?
Yes, I do mind. Get out of here.
Don't be a fool. Put that gun down.
Come here, Rick. Now, come here. If you come a step further, I'll blow his brain. Now, Wally, let me go. Let me go, please.
Drop that gun.
Oh, no. While I've got this, I hold a trump card.
You're in enough trouble already. Don't make things worse for yourself.
I want you to go tell your boss that I want a rifle, and I want some hand grenades, yeah? Hand grenades.
Hand grenades? You're out of your mind.
I'm not. Do what I say, or Rex dies.
Wally Carr holds the gun 2 inches from Rex Webster's head, and he orders the policeman to leave the house. With a life in danger, they have no choice. Slowly, they walk backwards out of the house. Outside, they discuss possible ways of overcoming Carr with no one being hurt. Captain O'Connor has been informed of their whereabouts, and he is not long in arriving.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Sergeant. Constable.
In, sir.
Doesn't appear to have been so far.
What did the Brigadier have to say, sir?
We've got to handle it ourselves. If we call more men in, it'll only excite him further.
Well, this is going to be a tough one, sir. He's not going to come out of there in a hurry.
Then this is when we start trying to think like policemen. We've got to get him out of there with no one getting hurt.
What do you intend to do, sir?
Can you hear me in there? I'm Captain O'Connor. I want to talk to you.
Did you bring the hand grenades?
I want to come inside and talk to you.
No. Not unless you bought the hand grenades. Prime.
Has he got a fetish for bombs or something?
We've met them before, sir. Mm.
They're coming!
They don't come inside into their ear!
You're not going to give them to him, sir?
Of course not, Sergeant. I'm playing for time. You, Constable, see if you can get around the back.
Right.
And make sure you're not seen. We can't take any chances. Yes. Sergeant, somehow I've got to get inside the house and hold his attention. That way you can surprise him and he can be disarmed.
Whichever way you look at it, there's a big risk.
Everything we do involves a risk. That's why we're here. They told you that when you joined the force.
Yes. I couldn't agree with you more, sir.
Listen to me, in there. I want to come in, talk to you. Can you hear me?
I can't see him, sir.
Meaning he probably can't see us. We're parked at a very difficult angle. We can just see the house. I don't think he can make us out too clearly.
So quiet in there. Now, sir?
I'll try and keep him talking. You better go around the back once I get his attention.
Very good, sir.
Oh, no. No, he's done it. He shot him. Come on. Are you ready?
It's a little too late to change my mind.
Right! Stay right where you are.
Don't shoot, sir. He's dead. I got him.
Constable, what happened?
He's right. He shot him.
I had to, sir. I came in the back way. He saw me and turned to fire. I acted on my own initiative. Hope I was right, sir.
You were right, Constable. You were very right.
Constable Perkins received a special commendation for his part in the drama, being highly recommended by Captain O'Connor. Had Wally Carr lived, he would have paid the maximum penalty for armed robbery.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of Squad Cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another dramatic story in our authentic South African police series, Squad Cars. Squad Cars is directed by Colin Fish and produced by David Goodman.